Our second scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, even though this isn't exactly how I pictured Lake Fellow Sunday would be, I'm excited to be with you all this morning. And I want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you, Second Presbyterian Church, for all the ways you've helped to nurture and grow this young preacher, for the care and support, the grace, and really the love that you have shown me. This church knows how to take care of its Lake Fellows, and for that I feel truly blessed. In reflecting back on the last 2 years, one thing that surprised me about this program is how well we've gotten to know one another. You've been kind enough to let me celebrate with you at baptisms, ordinations, and even a socially distanced wedding yesterday. But you've also let me witness to some of your more tender moments, with loved ones at hospital beds, prayers in the middle of the night, and memorial services for those whom we've lost. Beyond the milestone moments, we've shared meals and meetings, handshakes and hugs. I have felt so embraced and known by this community. What a way to show true belonging. One thing that is unique to residency programs within the realm of all other ministry jobs is that they have a definitive end date. Most ministers don't begin working knowing that when they will be done at a certain church. I didn't know when I'd leave here for sure, but I knew it would be before the end of August 2020 when you will welcome two new Lake Fellows and the cycle will begin again. There is a season to this program, albeit a longer season of 2 years. But this season is one that I am sure many of you have witnessed time and time again as you have welcomed, embraced, and blessed over 45 other Lake Fellows before Haciel and I. And that's the thing about life. We find ourselves vacillating between these different seasons of time. For everything, there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to laugh and a time to cry. We all know the Ecclesiastes scripture, or if you're like me, you just sing the song by the birds and call it close enough. These are just the seasons of our personal lives. But what's unique about the world right now is that we are living in a season that we are experiencing together. And while I'm not exactly sure what it will be called or how it would be described if we were to update the scripture this morning to modern times, I am confident that this is a season we will not soon forget, and I worry it's one we're not to be released of anytime soon. Unlike the Lake Fellow program, there's no firm end date in sight of this pandemic. In our reading from Jeremiah this morning, we hear the words of the prophet speaking to people who are in quite a season of their life as well. Although this season is very different from the Lake Fellow program or the time we find ourselves in the world, the Israelites are in a season of exile, having forcibly been removed from their homes and sent to live in a strange and foreign land, taken from Jerusalem and placed into the oppressive life in Babylon. Their city was destroyed, their temple burned. The prophet Jeremiah writes a letter to them in the midst of this season, delivering to them the words of God. He speaks words of hope that one day life will be normal again. One day they will be able to go home again. But that time is not only not today, it's far off, perhaps even generations into the future. These hardly feel like words of hope in the midst of collective tragedy and trauma. Now, I want to make one thing very clear. We are not in a time of exile. Exile would indicate a level of disenfranchisement that most of us are not experiencing. Exile is a time of oppression and extreme loss of autonomy and identity. This is not exile. And also, neither is the Lake Fellow program, just to clarify, but all three are seasons of transitions, seasons where we are called to live in the present amidst an unknown future, seasons that represent liminal spaces. The term liminality was first coined in the early 20th century from an anthropology perspective. It seemed that there was a need to define the space between two rites of passage. The word limen means threshold, as if we're standing at a doorway waiting to be let into a new world. Or as Father Richard Rohr describes liminality, it is a season where we are drawn out of business as usual and remain patiently at the threshold, where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. We've all experienced liminal times in our lives, the moments between graduating from school and starting a career, having our heart broken and learning to love again, retiring from work and finding a new purpose in life, deciding to have children and holding them in our arms, buying a house and making it a home. These are the liminal spaces we've encountered before. They can be disorienting times, full of moments of doubt and wondering if we can just go back to the place that we had been before. Questioning when the next chapter begins and holding on to the hope that we will see it when it arrives. In our gospel reading from Luke, we get a brief glance at the liminal space the disciples were living in. Jesus, their teacher and savior, had been crucified before their very eyes. He was dead, and life was never going to be the same again. But then suddenly they began to hear stories. Stories of an empty tomb and a walking companion on the Emmaus Road. Stories of sightings and suppers. They're living in a liminal space, knowing that their entire world has just changed, and yet they do not know what stands before them. Indeed, they wondered, can we hope? Do we dare to believe that this is not the end of the story? And then Jesus himself appears, showing his hands and his feet to their questioning minds. As he leaves and begins ascending to heaven, he blesses them, commissioning them to be a presence in the city, to stay put and continue the ministry and to act as witnesses to all they had seen and experienced in their journeys with him. The disciples did not know what would happen next. They didn't exactly know where Jesus was headed or whether he would return again. But they lived into these moments. They lived into the hope that one day he would come back. They continued their ministry, just as Jesus had commanded, being fervent in worship and steadfast in their joy. To me, this echoes one of the most important lessons I will take away from the Lake Fellow Residency Program. Be firmly planted where you are. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. And that is a lesson that I learned from all of you. It was not an intentional decision, but rather an unavoidable invitation that I'm so blessed to have received from this congregation. In this in-between season of my life, one that easily could have been spent with one foot back at home or one foot in my next call, you encouraged me and welcomed me so fully. I had no choice but to stand with my feet planted firmly on the ground beneath me. You helped me to embrace this liminal time as a place of transformation and unending hope for both the future of this congregation and the future of the church. It's easy to think about what we will do when we emerge from these liminal spaces, when we find ourselves stepping out of the shadow of death or finally eclipsing the mountaintop. We look ahead to a date where our desired life will be fully lived into. But in the space betwixt and between, what does hope even look like? In Babylon, Jeremiah spoke to Israelites who were in search of hope. And while their situation might be different, I believe in a living word of God, one that speaks to us in each season of our lives as well. Surely if those who had been exiled could live into hope that God, that the God had set before them, we can too. We can learn how to search for abundant life amidst the chaos of our own situations. Instead of living in fear, anger, or complacency, those who were in exile were given a list of life-enhancing instructions. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and continue to multiply there. Do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you in exile. The message of God through the prophet is clear. Have hope in a future you cannot see, leaning on the promise of God that there will be a time when you will return home. Having hope in a future we cannot see is a core tenet of our faith. We believe in a God who goes before us and is already present in what is to come. A God that is not defined by seasons, but rather simultaneously exists in the past, present, and future. We live in the now and the not yet. But when our personal lives feel as though they are unraveling, when our plans for the future begin to slip through our fingers, how do we have hope? How do we even know what we are to hope for? Build, plant, seek, and grow. These action verbs from Jeremiah are clear. In a liminal season, while we sit on the threshold of what will be unveiled on the other side, we are not to remain idle in our waiting or despair at our situation. Instead, we are to root down where we are and live into an unknown future that we know God has already claimed. We are to plant seeds, trusting that there will be rain and sunshine to care for them. We are to build houses and grow families, believing that God will provide for us all. We are to be present to the needs of those around us, building up our communities and extending God's love to the world. While a fearful inclination during these times might look like turning inward, a hopeful inclination would be to turn ourselves outward to the world, to recognize that God has gone before us, so we can have faith that God holds our future, that hope amidst suffering and pain is not only possible, it's imperative, and that hope can look a lot like planting a garden, sowing seeds without knowing whether the soil is any good or if the weather will hold, but planting them anyway, trusting that some will take root and provide a harvest, even if that harvest isn't for us. That's what you have done for me, Second Presbyterian Church, and all the other Lake Fellows that have come through this program. You've invested in us, planted seeds of learning and growth, even though our growing seasons were short, knowing that some seeds won't germinate while we're with you, knowing that some of the skills you've nurtured in us won't pay off for you, knowing that some seeds will need to be replanted again and again, only to be harvested much later in our ministry lives. But you did this anyways, because you had hope. Not only hope for what God is working in each of us, but more importantly, what God was working in this church and in the world. You already know how to plant hopeful seeds for the future. Being in a liminal season can be a holy season. It is often described as a place of transformation, much like the wilderness we studied over Lent, a place where we can learn to trust that God is already present in the future that we cannot see. While liminal time brings great uncertainty, it can also be a time of great learning. And what we hope for during this time is this, that we too will be transformed, that we will come out on the other side of this liminal space differently, with new inclinations towards loving our neighbors, that we can work towards repairing societal injustices that continue to be unveiled by this collective season of pain, that we will remember those everyday heroes that emerged, the fragility of life, the longing we shared just to be with one another, and the many different ways that we have been church together. Most of all, I pray that we remember the God who sustained us through it all, the one who is already before us and is also beside us. May we have hope in that sure knowledge. Amen.